Blog Talk Radio.
Within this precept,
that scripture when Messiah said repent. Last night we spent the time defining what true repentance is, what the scripture says true repentance is, and what we have to do. And true repentance is really turning away from sin and turning back to keeping, or turning to, in a lot of cases, most cases, to keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. And so that's how Messiah started his ministry. And so I wanted to break that one scripture down because it is simple yet complex. And so we will continue with the second half of that scripture on this morning. The kingdom of heaven is within us. It is here. Okay. And if we understand and know what we're to be doing, then, it should set us straight as far as where we are to be, what we're to be doing and where we're to be going. That being said, tomorrow is the feast, and it is when the first offering of the nation would be brought to the Most High. Before they could eat or do anything, they had to bring this offering. And so we will be celebrating that on tomorrow morning. And I've already sent out the message to announce it, that service tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And so we will be in observance of it. That being said, we want to welcome everybody in North America and South America, on the African continent, European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, and any communist bloc countries that may be listening. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for Jesus Christ. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, and let us go before the Most High and do our statement of faith. Do the necessary for this morning. Do I have any more announcements? No more announcements. So we'll go ahead and get into this precept. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a handcuff of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on this morning, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We extol you, Father, and raise you up high above us, high above the heavens, high above all that is, Father, and we bow down to you, and we worship you. And we praise your holy name, for truly you are worthy to be praised. So hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. Hallelujah to you. And 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. Glory to you. From glory to glory, we worship you, Father. And we magnify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Glory to you in the highest. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. The sounding of the shofar.
Adonai, from the rising
that the Most High had to take him off the earth because he took the kingdom of heaven off the earth. Same way with Elijah. Took him off the earth because the kingdom of heaven was not here any longer. When Messiah came to announce that the kingdom had returned and that access to it required that each individual, at that time, he was the only one, him and John still had to, you know, do what he was supposed to do. But at that time, Messiah was opening the kingdom on the earth. And so he was telling us how to get into it, how to enter in. And so he makes some statements about this kingdom that we need to be mindful of, that it's already here. And if we are true believers in him, our lives should reflect that. Okay, so let's go and let's start this off with the understanding of the kingdom. When I, you know, listen to other pastors speak, other teachers speak on the gospel, what I often hear them saying is that the kingdom of heaven is something far off. It's distant. And it's not here that we are supposed to be waiting on. Okay? It's some future paradise. And that understanding is not what is in the scriptures. Okay? Messiah spoke as if it was a present reality. The kingdom of heaven is here. Something that is already among us, something that is already in us, something that's going to influence our lives, transform hearts, make true citizens. It was already here, and this is what he was bringing, and this is what he was announcing. So the kingdom is both now here and not yet. What do I mean by that? We are already in the kingdom of the Most High. When we convert, we become kingdom citizens, when we truly convert. And being truly kingdom citizens, then we are supposed to truly keep the laws of the kingdom. We're supposed to keep the commandments of our king. And so it's supposed to now be here. But our king is not yet here. Not sitting on his throne on the earth. And so that is a future event. But as far as the kingdom itself, we're supposed to be spreading it through the earth. Okay. These are the teachings of Messiah. These are what the church is supposed to be teaching and spreading. And it's supposed to be in the heart and expressing the lives of all true believers. I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That is my country. That is my nation. The Most High Elohim, or Yeshua HaMashiach, is my king. And we're supposed to be living our lives according to that. So let's go to Luke chapter 17. See if what Brother Miles is saying is true. Luke chapter 17. Let's get verse 21. The book of Luke chapter 17. And I want you to follow along with me on this morning so that we have clarity and we know what we're saying, when we say it, and how we say it. That we believe it, we walk in it, we understand it, that it is already here, and this is what we're supposed to be doing. And when Messiah returns, he is finding the kingdom needing to be cleaned up, but he is still he still expects to find the kingdom of heaven, his citizens on the earth. And everything that don't belong to him, he's taking out of the earth, meaning that he's going to destroy it so that it no longer functions in the earth. Okay? 17 and 21, and the word of the Most High reads, neither shall they say, lo, yo, it's here. Or behold, or lo, or yo, it's over there. Behold, the kingdom of Elohim is within you. See, every kingdom is made up of the citizens of that kingdom. And the king, that the citizens are what define the kingdom itself. In this case, it's not the will of the citizens that make the kingdom what it is. It's the citizens following the will of their king that makes the kingdom what it is. So when we accept Messiah as our king and our savior, our redeemer, and when we are filled by the Ruach HaKodesh, born of his spirit, begotten of his spirit, and when we keep the law, like a kingdom citizen should, then we manifest the kingdom on the earth. And so we have to understand that he says in Luke 17 and 21, don't say it's over there, or don't say it's over here. It's supposed to be inside of each and every one of us. And we are not supposed to be corrupt. We are not supposed to be, outlaws, not respecting the kingdom of the Most High. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be respecting the kingdom of the Most High. We are supposed to be doing, you know, what the Most High said to do. Okay, so the kingdom of heaven is within us. Luke 17:21. Okay. Messiah challenged the Pharisees who were looking for a physical sign of the kingdom. And see, we are still waiting on, we're looking for Messiah's return. We're looking for, you know, death to disappear. We're looking for all sickness to disappear, hunger and disease to disappear. But that's not going to disappear yet. Those are the things that will manifest themselves after his return. We can work towards some of those things. That's what science is really all about. The problem with science is it denies the Most High. There's nothing wrong with medicine and those things. The problem is that they do it to be Elohim themselves rather than giving the glory to Elohim, to God himself. And so everybody's waiting and saying, you know, the kingdom will get here when Messiah returns. No, the kingdom is already here. It's supposed to be already within you, already within me. We're supposed to be doing it. We're supposed to be obeying our king. Okay. Messiah taught that the kingdom is not something you can observe. It's not an observable entity that can be pointed out here or there. He says, don't say it's over here. Don't say it's over there, because it begins in the hearts of everybody. And so it's supposed to be everywhere and be anywhere. And so he was challenging the Pharisees. Stop looking for the return of Israel, because the Most High had already determined that Israel was corrupt, and he already knew what they were going to do to him. He said, but my kingdom is made up in the hearts of men and women and children who obey my voice. who keep my commandments, who honor me the way I say to honor me. They don't make it up. They obey what I say to do. So he challenged them, he challenges us to behave like citizens of the kingdom. We learn the laws of the kingdom and we do them. We learn the will of the Most High and we do it. That's what he expects. And he expects us and he challenges us to live as though we were already citizens of the kingdom, because we are, and to keep his law. But he also challenges us to live as though he is already returned. Because see, people have a habit of, if authority is in front of them, they will not misbehave. If you're in front of the police, you are not going to go break a law so that they can arrest you, so that they can, you know, have a reason to charge you. But if they're not around, people have a tendency to do anything and everything. But they'll, you know, I'm not going to get caught. So they don't really have integrity, because if they are keeping the laws, then they should keep the laws always, whether the police are around or not. The same way with Messiah. We should be keeping his commandments, his laws, his statutes, his ordinances, his judgments, whether he's in front of us or not. And so that is the challenge in the scriptures, that we, in our hearts, we follow him. And whether he's in front of us physically, that we can see him or not, we keep his laws. We keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances. We live as citizens of the kingdom, obeying his voice. That's what he has always said. Obey my voice. How do you say you love me and keep not my commandments? So if we are truly true citizens of the kingdom, then we're not going to be lawbreakers. We're not going to be untrustworthy. We're not going to be lazy about doing what it is that we have been commanded to do. We're going to do it with all our heart. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Because our lives are to reflect and tell everybody who we are by the way that we live, by the things that we do and don't do. So Matthew chapter 5. And let's get verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And I pray that we can hear this, because we're waiting on our king to come back, but we're not waiting on our king to come back to find us not doing what we're supposed to do. Okay, this, he left it and said, do these things. And the kingdom is supposed to manifest itself from within us. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A light that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we are the light of the world. We are what the world is looking at. We are what the world is looking for. We are what lights up the world. But we're supposed to be lighting them up with the knowledge of Elohim. We're supposed to be lighting them up with the culture of Elohim. This is how the kingdom of heaven looks. Be able to look at us and see that. They're supposed to be able to look at our works and see that. Not supposed to be something hidden. And when people see that we truly are keeping the commandments of the Most High, that we truly live that way, that we don't try to take advantage of people, that we're not trying to misuse our brother and our sister. And say, glory to the Most High. I want to be like them. I want to be a part of that. Okay? So we're called to manifest the reality of the kingdom through our lives. It is real. It is here. It is visible. Our obedience to the commandments of Elohim and our good works to shine before others and point them to the Father. He is the reason. And it should make them want to come if they are of that mindset, if he has called them. So when we're waiting, trying to do better, when we're waiting, you know, trying to stop doing the ways of the world, we don't have our citizenship. We are really, if we do have it and we are keeping the ways of the world, we are outlaws. We are lawbreakers. And we will get arrested. In due time, when the Most High comes, we are lawbreakers. Okay? So we're not supposed to live that way. We're supposed to let our lives get and show the world what living like is in the kingdom. A Messiah, now we are supposed to get equipped for this. And it's according to, not just according to our faith, but even faith of other people, the faith of those who need us. Okay? So, let's go to Matthew chapter 10, the book of Matthew chapter 10. Now let's get verses 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where is it at? It's in your hand. It's in your mouth. That's why it says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The kingdom is near you. The kingdom is in you. The word of the kingdom, the word of salvation, is supposed to be in us and in our hand to offer it. Okay? Verse 8. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. So the kingdom didn't cost you anything as far as monetarily. Didn't cost you a piece of food. It didn't cost you a donation. It cost you to commit, to give yourself. So we are supposed to preach the kingdom. We're supposed to heal the sick. We are supposed to cleanse the lepers. We are supposed to cast out devils. And the Most High equips us for that. Those things take the laying on of hands. Self in direct, the direct line of fire. And knowing that Elohim is going to, if something happens to you when you take this away, because what will happen is if you're cleansing somebody that is sick, then you take on that disease. But it doesn't manifest itself because the Most High then heals you, like instantly. That's why you have to have faith, and they have to have faith. That's why when you are doing that type of work, that you understand what you're doing. to know that whatever this is, the Most High is going to heal it, but he's going to heal me also. You stand in between them. You stand in as in the gap. They have to believe that they can be healed. And so when you make those prayers and you ask the Father to do it, you have to do it with total belief that it is done. Not that it's going to be done, but that it's done already. But you know that he told you to do this for the kingdom. So this is not for your glory. It's for his. The act of healing are signs of the kingdom's presence. Where there's restoration, the kingdom is at work. Where there's reconciliation, the kingdom is expanded. So we have to be able to offer the kingdom to people, heal people, help them to reconcile with the Most High as our lives being an example to what is to be done. And this is what Messiah was saying in repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We would become the light that people look for, that they would be drawn to. Go to Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. And let's get verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. In the word of the Most High, I read, seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim. That's what we have to teach people. You got to first seek the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, his law. I mean, it's right there in plain sight. First, seek you the kingdom. How do I get into the kingdom? This is part of your repentance. And what do I have to do? What are the requirements? What are the rules? Not just to salvation, but to also living in the kingdom. It's the Most High's commandments, his statutes, his laws, his ordinances, his judgments to do. Have the desire first to get into the kingdom, and then seek what is right, according to the Most High, the King of the Kingdom. What's going to make me a good citizen in this kingdom? And all these things shall be added unto you. Everything else shall be added unto you. You don't have to worry about, you know, what kind of money you're going to make. You don't have to worry about where you're going to live, with the standard of living, because the Most High has given us that we are all to take care of each other. So I really believe the more that I think of it, democratic, democracy, the beginning of that word is demon. And we've been placed right in the heart of the demon, in his territory, where everything is the opposite of what the Most High says his kingdom is about. Under democracy, everybody's supposed to get as much as they can, how they can, don't matter how they get it, lie, cheat, steal to get it. Just don't break the laws of the democracy, the standards of the demons. I'm going to put it that way because the Most High gave it to me that way. Don't break the laws of the demons. Why? because then the demons will come after you. And if you keep the Most High standards within this system, then what happens is you get attacked. You actually need His favor to make sure that you're not overran, that you can prosper. Because you're not going to be doing those things that those that embrace this system do. And so we're to seek the Most High first, His kingdom, His laws. Because you do that honestly, and then I'll add all this other stuff to you. You won't have to worry about all the other stuff. I will prosper you. And so we get caught up in trying to please and trying to exist in a system that we're not supposed to really exist in. And this is part of, for Israel, part of the curse. I'm going to send you into the belly of the beast. And if you love me, you'll find your way out. You'll find your way back to me. Because these are not principles of democracy. The principles of democracy is that men rule. And the agreements that men can come to, that is the standard. So if the ruling bodies and the people agree that homosexuality should be legal, then it becomes legal into that system. But it's not legal in the eyes of the Most High. I hope we can see this. And so He put us in the belly of the beast. He said, because you transgress my law, and because you have hated me, I'm going to put you in the middle of what the beast is doing. And your descendants will grow up that way. And most of us will not be able to break out of this. So we have to, if we want to be a kingdom of the Most High, we want to be a citizen of the kingdom of the Most High. And we will seek it with everything that we have. And we will keep His law. And we would rather die than not keep His law. We have to be loyal. We have to have integrity. And see, that's what the examples in the book are showing us. Like when Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego or Joseph, all those stories, they were in captivity. They were not in their own land. And even if it cost them their life, they were going to keep the laws of the Most High. And that's the mentality that we also have to have today to be a member, a part of this kingdom. So those that keep the kingdom of heaven prioritizes Elohim laws. If you are a citizen of the kingdom, you have to give His laws priority over man's laws, His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, His ordinances, above all else. Where these are pursued, there the kingdom is alive. If nobody's keeping the commandments of the Most High, if nobody is doing what He said to do, the kingdom is not there. Doesn't manifest itself there. But where those things are done, the kingdom is there. Messiah wants to come back and find us doing what He said to do. gotten caught up in, we got to wait for him to get back. No. We're supposed to be doing these things now. Okay. Go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, let's get verse 17. That's why he says, don't worship me with your lips. Don't just say that you belong to me, but don't do what I say. Don't obey me. You're not doing the work. It's not in your heart. Don't be ashamed to be the light. Even when your loved ones chastise you or they try to put you down or they don't want to hear what you say, you have to be that light. For the kingdom of Elohim is not meat and drink, but righteousness, but lawfulness and peace and joy in the Ruach HaKodesh. Saying this, the kingdom of heaven is not really made up what you eat and drink, even though we have laws that determine what we cannot eat and what we cannot drink, and what access that we can't do it. That's not what the kingdom is totally made up. It's not made up of, our worldly actions are not just what make up the kingdom, but it's the keeping of the laws of the Most High. Righteousness, keeping his laws, doing what he says to do, and being at peace with him, not being his adversary, his enemy, and having joy in that. I am a citizen of the kingdom. I obey the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. My righteousness is determined by him, not by the standards of the world. Have to believe that, have to do that, have to become that, be that. Okay? Our internal values, our relationships, the dynamics of those things, reflect the values of the kingdom, not reflect the values of the world. So, what we truly believe and how we conduct ourselves reflect the kingdom. The type of relationships that we have reflect the kingdom. What Elohim says is the way things should be. That's what our life reflects or is supposed to. And the Spirit of the Most High, Ruach HaKodesh, will help us in those things. So I pray that we get this, that our values and what we do should reflect the kingdom. The relationships that we have should reflect the kingdom. That's what people are going to see. That's the light you're going to be shining. And it's to draw men, when I say men, I'm talking about mankind, male or female, to the Most High and to his values and to his kingdom, When he returns, everything that don't meet that standard, he's going to get rid of. So it don't matter. That's why he also says, you know, what Messiah said, many shall say in that day, did we not do this? Did we not do that? In your name, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Because they did not, they were not keeping his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments, his laws. They were doing those things for their own glory. They're saying it was for his. So we have to be obedient. Do those works as well. But our modus operandi, our reason for being, for doing, is him. And we prove that by our actions in that we obey his voice and we keep his commandments. Kingdom calls us not to be passive, you know, because the world don't agree. The world is contrary. And where we are at, in the belly of the beast, if you say you keep the laws, the statutes, the commandments of the Most High, they want to say, oh, you're a legalist, you're a legalistic, or you're a Bible thumper. Or you're a heretic. They want to come against it. They want to speak negative. They want to call your good evil. This is what they want to do. But Messiah and the apostles were showing us how we live as kingdom citizens. Not how we should be, it's how we have to be. We're not going to all be exactly the same. But we should have those things in common, and we should be cemented in them. I keep the laws of the Most High. I'm not going to compromise on that. I keep his statutes. I keep his ordinances. I keep his commandments. And I don't compromise on those things, and I don't do them to be saved. I do them because they are the right thing to do. I am saved by my faith in Messiah, the work that he did. He made a way for me to wipe away my sins and start over with the Most High. And in starting over, I learned how to live a holy life, a clean life, my life. If the Most High wants somebody healed, he'll put it in your heart to do what, it's not you with the gift. He's doing it through you. So if he puts it in your heart to go pray for this person and lay hands on them, then you need to believe it with your whole heart. If he touches your heart with compassion for someone, and you see where they are suffering, then he gives you the authority, but you got to believe. And you have to ask them, do they believe? I always ask, do you believe? Because they have to have the same faith. If they don't believe they can be healed, guess what? They won't get healed. I don't care what you're doing. Most I says this vessel is not open. It is not willing. Can't be converted. But if they believe what you're telling them, so don't tell them a half truth. Don't give them half the requirements. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 10. No, chapter 15. What was required for salvation? Those are the things that are required. Stop fornicating. Stop eating things that are strangled. Stop eating blood. And don't worship any other Elohim, not in that order. But they got to do those four things before you should even be offering them baptism. We don't even bother to look, talk to a person long enough. The church don't bother to look or talk to a person long enough to see what they're doing. Or set the requirements for them. You got to stop saying, what does that mean? That's going to be different to every person. But you're supposed to be able to lay it out. Hey, you can't be serving no other God. Form. You got to give that up. That is like treachery. That's like you aspire something. You saying you believe in the Most High, but you're still worshiping these other gods. These other gods. You are still worshiping the ways of the world. You got to first give that up. Then you can't be eating meats that are strangled or unclean things. And if when you do eat whatever you're eating, don't eat the blood of it. Because the world has gotten to where, hey, I want my steak rare. I want it still bloody. Be cooking chicken. Bite into the chicken and blood squirt out. Barely cook the fish where it's not fully cooked. The closer to raw is what man is trying to get. And then they think it's okay. But that goes against the laws of the Most High. Oh, that was Israel. No. That's for you too. That's part of the New Testament. The change. I don't want people who are eating, consuming blood. Human or animal. I don't want it. So we got to stop those. I don't want people who are still worshiping other gods. You see, people don't realize in keeping Christmas and all these other pagan holidays that they're worshiping other gods. It's like you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend before you got married. And then after you got married, you kept that boyfriend and that girlfriend. Kept the relationship with them, but now you got to stop. And then when your spouse finds out about it, how do you think they're going to feel? If it was you, how would you feel? You wouldn't like it. Especially if you didn't know about it. And so, this is what the Most High is saying. Don't have any other Elohim in any form. Don't bow down to them. Don't keep their ways. Keeping their ways is a form of worship. Their traditions. Because you grew up with it don't mean that it's right. We have to be actively involved. And then keeping those of the Most High, those things that honor Him. And His ways. That's the first thing He says in Acts chapter 15. Let's go there. Acts chapter 15. And they're using the law of Moses concerning circumcision as the example, because you have some Pharisees who have converted But they're going out telling people that, hey, you got to keep the law concerning circumcision to be saved. And they don't. But at the end of the day, as they begin to learn, they're going to come back around to these same thoughts of these Pharisees. But to start with, they don't have to. That's the progression that the Most High expects. He gives leeway for you to learn. He don't expect you to come with all knowledge, all understanding, but he does expect you to seek it out. So let's go there. And let's go down. Two verse. Give me a second. We'll just get the relevant verses out of here because I've taught this before. And give me a hot second here. Let's go down to verse 19. Starting verse 19. Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is, my judgment, where I'm directing the apostles, the disciples, the new believers, I'm directing them to perceive that we trouble not them, the Gentiles, okay? But this will apply to Hebrews too, because all Hebrews don't live according to the law, and all Hebrews don't have knowledge of the law. Okay, so when they first come, then from among the Gentiles are that we trouble not them which are from among the Gentiles are turned to Elohim, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols. This is worshiping other gods in any form. First thing. You don't hear the church asking if you keep in Easter or if you keep in Christmas or if you keep in Halloween or if you keep in, you know, any of the pagan holidays. They don't ask that. Never had anybody, as long as I've been living, to ask me that. Not even if I'm worshiping any other god. They just throw about the name of Messiah. And as long as you accept him, then you can be saved. That's not what this is saying. They got to accept Messiah for sure. But they got to denounce all those others. Because, see, we live in a world that worships any and everything. And when people come to the Most High, when we are talking to them, we don't know what they're coming out of. We don't know what they have been exposed to. That's why we have to tell them what to do. Not just that, do you accept Messiah? Do you accept Jesus? That's the bottom line. But they will end up doing what the people in northern Israel did from the very beginning when the Assyrians took them over and the Assyrians transplanted these different nations into the northern kingdom. And the Most High sent the lions in to attack these people. And they went back to the king and said, hey, there's something wrong. We don't know the Elohim. We don't know the God of this land. And so he sent back one of the false priests and that false priest told him, hey, you have to fear Yah. And fear Yah. But they still worship their other gods. And this is what people are doing today. They have a certain level of fear of Yah, but they still worship an other god. And so we have to tell them, hey, you got to give that up. you only worship the one true and living Elohim. And so all these other celebrations that you have been taking part in, they are steeped in the worship of other gods. You have to give that up. And some of them will not do it. You know, I like Valentine's Day. I like giving presents. I like Christmas. I like the spirit behind it. Then you don't want to be a citizen of the Most High. That's your choice. They have rejected it. That's the first thing you got to tell them. Abstain from the pollution of idols. Anything associated with these other deities. Secondly, from having sex outside of marriage. A big thing with the Most High. We don't put that much value on the sex act. We're taught, you know, on TV, as soon as you feel like you are ready to have sex, no matter what kind of sex, have sex with whoever you want to have it with. Even have lost, you know, the standard of same sex. So people used to sneak, you know, they used to sneak around. And it was a disgrace to have sex with somebody of the same sex. To perform a sex act with somebody of the same sex. Then they made that legal. And so the standard is, no matter what sex, when you feel like you're ready to have sex, then just have sex. And if a grown-up thinks that a child is ready to have sex, just have sex. And they're not quite there yet, but they're getting there. Or if you believe you love your animal and you want to have sex with your animal, it is not against the law in most states to do that. That's how corrupt this land is. That's how corrupt this world is. That's how corrupt men are. When there were no females available and they messing with the animals, when they wrote the laws, they made sure, oh, let's leave that out. Let's don't make that against the law. We might be out on the trail somewhere, need to relieve ourselves. The Most High says, can't marry an animal. Can't marry someone of the same sex. And you can't have sex with them if you're not married to them. You can, but it's going to be illegal in his eyes. You know, we're taught, hey, if you can talk her into it, do it. If she's willing to give it up, do it. Most I said no. That is not his standard. It is not his way. And from things strangled. Most people don't know where their food comes from today. You know, if you were on the farm and you were killing your own food, your own livestock, and you know how you killed it. Well, you just chopped his head off, shot it in the head, you know, made the death quick. Strangulation is a long, drawn-out death. Something happens to the animal. And then you're consuming that. And maybe it affects us. Never looked at it or into it like that. But the fact that that animal suffered in agony before you ate it, the Most High says, no. You got to be righteous even unto the animals. Make their death quick. Don't have them sitting there suffering. Because they feel things too. If you ever had a dog or any type of pet, you know that those animals, certain level of feelings, have a certain level of thought. They are not stupid. And they feel and think just like, not exactly like we do, but they have a certain level of consciousness. They want affection. They want to give affection. And a lot of people are tighter with their animals than they are with other people. And I get it. I understand it. I've had pets. If you treat them right, they don't complain. They don't, you know, talk back to you. They don't disobey you. Some of them will, but most of the time they don't. So the bottom line is, he says, for those things that you are eating, don't make them suffer. Don't kill them by strangulation. Because that's a cruel death. It's not quick. And from blood. The Most High said, the life of a thing is in its blood. I don't want you consuming the life of it. Drain the life out of it. Don't eat it. Don't drink it. And then all of a sudden you got people who want to barely cook their food. Like if I was in a restaurant, a woman comes in, asks for her steak, just sear it. On one side, on the other side, give it to me. For all practical purposes, that meat was still raw, still bloody. And a lot of people eat that way. The Most High knows. You want to be saved? These are the requirements. These are not the words of Brother Miles. This is written. Now, at the time, Israel was already supposed to know these things. Hey, we're only supposed to worship the Most High. Israel was already supposed to know. Hey, we ain't supposed to be having sex with women that we're not married to. Israel already supposed to know that, hey, there's a certain way we kill the animal. Call it kosher today. And we don't consume the blood. Israel was already supposed to know that. That's why he's addressing it to the Gentiles. But Israel today is not Israel. And Israel today, most Hebrews don't know. They're out there doing the same thing that the Gentiles are doing, so you got to witness to them the same way. So they've been trying to be like the Gentiles, trying to fit in. So you have to witness to them the same way. Just treat them like a Gentile. And you can't put the same requirements on them that you're aware of. You know, you're a Gentile. You got to be A, B, C, D, E. Secondly speaking, by birth they are, you're Hebrew. You got to do A, B, C, D, E. By birth they are Hebrew. By knowledge-wise, they are not. And so you have to bring them in the same way. And as they learn, as they are convicted, keep reading. For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, them that teach him. It is expected that the Hebrews would be teaching the Gentiles the the law of Moses. This is not the exception. This is the expectation. This is part of the requirement for salvation, that they be taught the laws of Moses and that they would be keeping Sabbath, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. So tell them, hey, give up the worship of other gods, other deities. Stop having sex outside of marriage. Don't eat anything strangled and don't eat its blood. And now you can be saved. And then we expect that you're going to come to same synagogue, wherever the place is, to learn the laws of Moses, to learn the laws of the Most High, to learn how to be righteous. Every Sabbath. And so it would be the duty of the church, I'm going to say it that way, to be teaching the laws of Moses, to have class set up so that newcomers can come and learn the laws of the Most High, not just how to give their tithes, not just how to donate or participate in the bake sale or the car wash, but a progressive teaching of this is how you keep the laws of the Most High. These are the laws of the Most High. These are what are expected of you. This was expected. This is what was going on. It was already happening. This was the verdict. Tell them to stop doing these things and come and learn the laws of Moses. So they hear the gospel of the kingdom. They see it through your life. And what are you all about? You witness to them. Then you tell them that, hey, you got to give up doing these things. These are against the Most High Elohim. These are against our Elohim. And if you want it to be your Elohim, you have to stop doing them. And then I can baptize you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or in the English, Jesus the Christ. Your sins can be forgiven. And these things, if you've been doing them, if you've been worshiping other gods, you need to confess that. If you've been having sex outside of marriage, you need to confess that. And stop them. If you've been eating things that are strangled, you need to confess that and stop them. If you've been consuming blood, you need to confess that and stop. Everything else, you're going to learn over time what's right and what's wrong. And you're going to pursue it. And once you learn something, you are accountable. If it's you, everybody's not doing the same thing. Everybody don't steal. Everybody don't covet. Everybody don't dishonor their parents. Whatever they are, everybody's not doing the same thing. But you got to go over everything because you don't know what people are doing. And when they hear something that applies to them, then they're supposed to repent of it. I didn't know that that was wrong. I didn't know that was a sin. I repent of it. I turn away from it. I confess that was me. I'm not doing that anymore. And he's doing just to forgive it. We have to forgive it. We can't hold it against them. If they are true, they confess it. Yeah, that was me. Whatever it is. And I repent of it. I turn away from it. The Most High will forgive them. You have to forgive them. Do they continue to learn? That's how we grow and come into the stature of Messiah. That's how we become Him. And it should not be a lifelong process. And it should not be something that people have to be made, be convinced of. Every person, when they come, if you explain it to them the right way, the expectation should already be set. And they should already, when they accept Messiah, want this. And so the world has twisted this. Twisted it. But we cannot. That's why the Most High said, spirit and in truth. How we deliver it. You know, if they're at church or at the synagogue or wherever, if they're there for truth, then however it comes out, this is what the Most High says. If you're in a hostile environment, then you might just have to be a little bit more tactful. But the bottom line is going to remain the same. And I just want you to know, I don't want you to say, Brother Miles, you are reading it for yourself, or should be. The kingdom is already here. We're not waiting for the arrival of it. We're waiting for our king to return, but we're not waiting for the arrival of it. That's why he gives in the parable about the stewards and how they, you know, were supposed to be maintaining the vineyard. Actively doing something the way the Most High wants it done. Actively keeping the vineyard the way He wants it kept. And the Most High says, I'm looking for the fruit from the vineyard. That's not your joy, your peace, your love, your long-suffering. The fruits that we are supposed to be bringing to the Most High are people. The fruits of our labor. Our lives should help them to transform. And so we're told exactly how to act in the scriptures. We find one verse and we'll call it a day. Give me one second here. Came to my heart to make this point clear. Should be up in, I think, in 1 Corinthians. might even be in the end of Romans. Just give me a hot second. Let me find this verse. Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we start in verse 9. See if I can break this down. What time we got? 9:30. I got time to break it down. So, yeah. Let's actually start in verse 1. Start in verse 1. Okay? And what I want you to do, I want you to mark this in your Bible, in your book. Remember what we just read in the book of Acts, okay? It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as name among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So this is a man sleeping with his wife, his mother, could be a stepmother. So I don't want to get caught up in the minutiae of it, because this is dealing with fornication. This is just the type of fornication, like, this has been going on forever, but people just don't do that. They don't sleep with their own mother or their stepmother. So they're going to bring this up as an example, all right? And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned. They run around bragging that this young man had been with his father's wife. They were puffed up. They were not sorry. They weren't, you know, oh, this is a grave thing. This is serious. They're puffed up and bragging about it. That he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. They're bragging on the young man. They're not trying to seek justice in the eyes of the Most High, okay? For I verily or seriously, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already. Now, Paul is not there. He's saying, but I heard this thing and I've judged. I've made a decision on it. As though I were there, present, concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord, or our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our HaMashiach, to deliver such as one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh. The destruction of the flesh is, take him to the Romans and have him killed. That's the destruction of the flesh. Time Israel could not put to death people themselves. They were occupied. It says, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, many people interpret that, take him out into the world and let him do his thing. He's going to end up destroying himself anyway. But really, it's about turn him over to the authorities. But see, we're not supposed to take anything that we do to the authorities. We're supposed to judge within ourselves. That the spirit may be saved in the day of Yeshua HaMashiach. Your glorying is not good. Y'all braggadoce, you're bragging about this. You're boasting about this. You're being prideful that this thing has happened is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, the ones that don't want to, that haven't converted, that's still doing stuff they ain't supposed to be doing. Purge it out, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. You're unleavened. You're not, and it's talking about, in this case, leavening is sin. And see, we want to tie this word leavening to just sin, but it has many different meanings. But in this case, it means sin. For even Mashiach, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. The feast of the Most High. Not the feast of the world. The feast days of the Most High. Not with old leaven. Not with that old sin. Remember when they were worshiping Baal? And I told you that part of Baal worship was them having sex with the high priest, the priestess of that sect, those worshipers. And they were probably mixing that stuff with the feast days of the Most High too. He says, don't do it with the old leaven, with that old sin. No matter what kind of sin it is. So. Don't do it. Don't keep the feast with that old leaven. Neither with the leaven of malice, anger, and wickedness. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity toward the Most High. Keeping his commandments. Doing the things the way he said, and truth. Fine today is all kind of things going on in the church. We find all kind of, you know, people taking money for all kind of things. Blood money, hush money. They want favor. And they're doing it. They're in the church, but they're not in there with real sincerity. They want to appear to be something. And not in truth, because they're not worshiping the Most High. In truth. You know, I don't keep Sabbath, but here's a donation. And I should be good. You know, I'm in an adulterous relationship, or I'm, you know, fornicating, and as long as I pay my tithes or I give, you know, more in the offering, I'm good. Or, you know, I just stole $10,000 from the job. Here's my 10%. We good. That's the old leavening, examples of it. Doesn't matter. The Most High doesn't want it. It's not sincere, and it's not in truth. Keep going. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to accompany with fornicators. Now, he wrote, he said, I wrote to you in another letter not to accompany with fornicators, with people who are indulging in having sex outside of marriage. Yet, not altogether with fornicators of this world. Now, he's going to distinguish, because, see, I tell you don't keep company with fornicators. But there's a problem going on. This fornicator ain't in the world. Or with the covetous, or with extortionists, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. This is going on in the body. So I told you, hey, stay away from those people in the world who are having sex outside of marriage, who are stealing, who are taking advantage of people, extorting them, you know, cheating them out their money, or with idolaters, people who are worshiping other gods. For then must you need go out of the world. Because that's where those people are at. They're in the world. So you'd have to come from among that. So now I want to address the issue that's going on in the body. Remember, this young man just got caught, and they're bragging about him sleeping with his father's wife. Didn't say his mother, so I'm assuming this is a stepwife or one of his other wives. But it's a problem. But now I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat, know not to associate. So these are people who are saying that they are believers. They are in the walk. And they're still doing these things. You know, I'm struggling with that. No, hell, you're not. You never converted. And he says, if you find that, know not to even eat with them. Because they're going to infect everybody else. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Keep going. For what have I to judge them also that are without, outside of the body? Do not you judge them that are within? You know, I hate to hear people say, you can't judge me. That's an excuse, and they're misusing the scriptures. You can't judge me. Who are you? A righteous brother in the scriptures. A righteous brother before the Most High. You can't be doing that and stay around here. And that's the very reason a lot of people don't run to this ministry, because they don't want to give those things up. They want to continue to do. I know. They were among us. They were doing it. Still doing it. And I can't be, say that I keep the book, say that I keep the commandments of the Most High, and stay associated. So he says, know not to eat with one. But them that are outside, Elohim will judge. Therefore, put away from among you is that wicked person. See, if they don't change, if they are told the truth, and they are told they are not supposed to do these things, and that there is an order to doing things that are right in the eyes of the Most High, not in the eyes of the world, not according to the world. And a lot of us bring the world into the body with us. And what I'm saying is that way, I'm talking about the mentality. Their rules, their ways of behaving, their ways of judging, their ways of saying what things are right and wrong. And instead of learning what the Most High says about this thing, they want to bring and say what the world says about it. So if we call a brother or a sister fornicating, then we're going to be, you know, a lot of times that's them. Or y'all pray for them. Where in here do you see where he said pray for them? He didn't say it. Don't judge them. Pray for them. No, just to judge them and taken action, put them from among you. Because that mentality will spread. And you don't know what dirt everybody's doing. So you let one get away with dirt, the next one doing whatever dirt, feel like, hey, you can't judge me. You didn't judge them, don't judge me. See what that causes? Because they weren't serious about it. So we got to understand that we got to keep the word of the Most High. We got to do things the way that he says to do them. So you know what somebody else will come up with? That's Paul says that. Like Paul spoke on his own. Like Paul wasn't chosen to be an apostle. So we use all kind of rationale in our mind to do what we want to do. I don't agree with that. Paul said that. Messiah didn't say that. Messiah came and did the works that were he had assigned to himself to do. And so you don't take this book and cherry pick bits and pieces out of it that you like and say, oh, I'm going to follow that. And bits and pieces you don't like, say, I'm not going to follow that. You follow it all as it is written. But from the very beginning, you're supposed to know the truth. But I know that from the very beginning, most of us were not taught the truth. So y'all said those days are coming to an end. And whosoever will. So I don't play with certain things. I don't entertain certain things. Trouble. Not with men. Not with mankind. Because they'll get you in trouble with the Most High for sure. And I definitely don't want to be in trouble with him. So, Paul says, I told y'all. Stay away from those fornicators and those stealers and those people who are taking advantage of people, conning them out their money and deceiving them. Stay away from those people in the world. He said, but damn, we got them in the body. So if you find them in the body, he says, put them out from among you. If they are still doing this in the body, not that they were doing it. If they are still doing it and they're in the body, put them from among you. We have to obey that. And it is good advice. Because when someone is still doing that, they're going to want to find somebody else who got the same spirit. Maybe they put it down. Maybe they suppressed it. Maybe they weren't totally done with it. But as long as they ain't around it, they ain't going to do it. And then here comes somebody with the same spirit. And they do it. And when you find it out, put them from among you. If they still got that spirit and they still want to do it, put them from among you. Still practicing it? Because it will spread. So just in ways to behave. So with that being said, I pray that the Most High gives each and every one of you strength to walk in His way, keep His commandments, that you would do it with joy and not with reservation or trepidation or condemnation. Because see, the world will condemn you for doing right. They will call your good evil. And don't take evil and try to make it good. Because people will do that. So you need to know what's good and what's evil. So you can distinguish. May the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Elohim and keep His commandments. We will have a service tomorrow morning. We won't have one this evening. We have a feast of the first fruits tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. So I pray to see you guys there. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your day. Shalom, family. Peace and blessings. Enjoy the rest of your day.